We will go on to, 11-18-71, United States versus Fuller Love. Mr. Frankel, how
morning,
are you?
Honors. Very well, thank you. My name is Scott Frankel, counsel for Appellant Kenosha Fuller Love. May it please the court. Ms. Fuller Love went to a jury trial on three charges: conspiracy to commit bank robbery and aiding and abetting, and knowingly using and carrying a firearm in furtherance of a bank robbery and brandishing a firearm during the commission of an offense. After the jury trial, Ms. Fuller Love was convicted of all three counts. Our appeal only involves the firearm count. Ms. Fuller Love was never alleged to have physically participated in the bank robbery or having held a gun or ever having possessed a gun in connection with the bank robbery.
But under a Pinkerton theory, why couldn't the jury conclude that the use of a firearm was foreseeable to her, given that she more or less acknowledged knowing that Mr. Lee had a firearm on the very morning of the robbery? She eventually acknowledged that a firearm might be used to frighten any Chase employee who was reluctant to provide the necessary codes. She eventually acknowledges that a firearm was discussed during the planning meeting. So,
Your Honor, it's our contention that Ms. Fuller Love did not foresee the use of the gun, and the evidence does not support that she could reasonably foresee bringing a gun to the robbery.
So what are we to make, then, of this comment of hers about the 80% certainty? I mean, surely that's some evidence on which one could rely that she knows it's foreseeable.
After a long...
And going to be used for the bank robbery. It's not like a random gun. It's a gun for the bank robbery.
Right. And she did make that comment after a long period of interrogation during which she had... excuse me, Your Honor.
She made it. A long period of interrogation or short, this is what the jury heard.
She made the comment that if they discussed a gun, she was
80% sure. And then he asked, did you know he was carrying a gun that day? And she said, I think so, yeah.
Right. She never said with certainty. She said, I'm 80% sure that we may have discussed a gun during that discussion. And she said...
That at the very least would indicate knowledge, wouldn't it?
It would indicate that during that interrogation...
No, nothing is absolute. In the business you and I are in, there is no thing as absolute certainty of any point at all, including the fact that you and I are here. We might be figments of somebody's imagination.
I feel pretty certain I'm here.
Well,
anything
we'll
your mind
one,
can conceive can occur, can be true, you know, whatever the mind may be. It is possible that all of us were created 5 minutes ago with our memories intact. It's not likely, of course.
Right.
But the possibility still exists philosophically. That's what you're arguing about.
Your Honor, I don't think I'm arguing that. I think that if...
If she says she's 80% sure and then said, did he have a gun? Yeah, I think so, yeah. Isn't that sufficient to indicate knowledge on her part?
The comment
itself...
For a
reasonable juror to determine that they can do it.
I think the comment itself, when taken out of context, does seem to say...
It wasn't taken out of context. It was taken in context.
No, because the context is the interrogation, Ms. Fuller Love being in a room with agents trying to please, denying to the agents that she knew about the gun, being asked repeatedly about the gun, and then finally giving in and saying, well, if there was such a discussion, there's an 80% possibility that a gun could have been discussed.
But there are a couple of instances during this interrogation where she first says one thing, and then the agent reminds her that it's really important to tell the truth, and then she backtracks and gives a different story, and then that pattern repeats itself, presumptively the second time. Each time she is telling the truth, and she's been spinning out a story the first time.
It was a long interrogation, and she did make many inconsistent statements during the interrogation.
The affliction of all defense counsel.
Pardon me?
The affliction of all defense counsel. You got a client that talks too much.
My arguments would probably go more smoothly if she hadn't made a statement at all. But
we're not blaming you, Mr. Frankel.
If you look at the entire context of the case, I think there is credibility to her assertion that she did not believe a gun would be needed.
She understood that two codes were needed to open the vault. So she understood that even with Ms. Rivera's cooperation, that, you know, there was going to would have to convince some other employee to provide the second code.
Yes, but she believed that Ms. Rivera would be providing the code voluntarily, and she also knew from her experience she had been employed previously at that bank as a teller and had gone through training, and she knew that tellers were counseled to not resist a bank robbery. And so in her mind, the gun was completely unnecessary in that Nicholas Lee, the person who would be doing the bank robbery, could go into the bank without a gun. Carolyn demand to have the vault open, indicate knowledge of the A and B codes. Carolyn Rivera would volunteer one of the codes, and it would be easy to find somebody else to supply the other code. So in her view, she did not believe that a gun would be necessary. She did not know that Nicholas Lee was going to bring a gun to the bank robbery, and that's why we believe that the jury's verdict was incorrect in finding her guilty under 924C of possessing or brandishing a gun.
And the bulk of her sentence is the outcome of this conviction, right?
That's correct. 84
months consecutive.
Right. So yeah. That's really what she's doing her time for. She's doing a 10-year sentence, 120 months.
Okay.
If there are any further questions, then.
Thank you so much. McFadden, hi. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Christopher McFadden on behalf of the United States. The jury received proper jury instructions on both the theories of aiding and abetting as well as co-conspirator liability. And for many of the same reasons that were implicit in your questions, there was sufficient evidence to support the conviction on count three, which was the gun charge. Just one other point that I wanted to mention. In terms of this planning meeting, the defendant introduced the bank robber as a friend who robs banks for a living. The bank robber said he generally carried around a gun with him all the time. So from that alone, I think there was enough evidence where a jury could have inferred knowledge that he would have a gun at the time of the bank robbery.
I wonder where she met a guy who makes a living robbing banks. I mean, corner bar, or, I mean, just lucky. She just ran into the street. They advertised her.
She met the bank robber through a friend, a guy named Chico. Chico knew the bank robber, and he introduced them.
Some friend.
This branch of Chase seems to have had quite a problem with its employee screening, I have to say. By the time they had her working there, and they had Rivera, and then they had this other guy, right, who's also turned out to be a bank robber.
Of course,
right.
I hang around with judges, so, you know, I mean.
I haven't been there, but they did have a run of bad luck.
It also was quite a haul.
What's that?
It was quite a haul.
About
$100,000.
Yes, about $110,000.
Yeah.
Right. And the defendant got approximately $10,000 of that, Judge. Unless you have any questions.
For every year. All right. No.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you.
Your Honors, I neglected to point out that Ms. Fuldo's grandmother is present here today in the courtroom supporting this.
She has our sympathy.
Yes.
You have our sympathy. All right. Now, you were appointed, were you not? Thank you, Mr. Frankel. Bless you. All right.